we have had one of the greatest falling away that I've ever known anything about. God has laid something on my heart because it's a little different to what the other preachers. We had some of the great preaching done yesterday and last night. I thought about Brother Dollar preaching on the message last night, and I thought about, well, you know, every one of us have our problems. Some of them are big, some of them are little. Some of the little ones do more damage to us than the big ones do. And we somehow or another can't get our priorities in place and get to where we can be the witness that God expects us to be. Now, we're living in a time when that many faith has fallen away. Many that I used to see shout. Preachers I used to see stand in the pulpits and preach the gospel. You can't get them in a church house now. And we are living in perilous times.
Amen.
This know also that in the last day perilous times shall come. So this man preached about the perilous times yesterday. Others preached about it. And then last night we all had witness to the time that we're living in. But we need a renewal of the goal in us.
Amen. I think.
If I've ever seen a time that we need to lay aside the isms and schisms of men and work for God, is the day in which we live in. Him. I'm going to read out of the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, starting with the 16th verse, reading the rest of the chapter. I want you to turn over there and look with me. And I'd like for you to get in your mind that if you are saved, if you've been saved by marvelous grace of God, then you ought to be a witness for the Lord.
Amen.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, you ought to be a witness for the Lord. And I believe that we need something to revive our churches. Our churches, big majority of them's drying up. I don't know about your church, but I'm seeing them dry up. I'm seeing them closing doors on some of them. And it's going to get worse unless somebody wakes up to the responsibility that falls on us as the children of God. We can't blame the outside world. We can't blame the president. You can't blame somebody else out there. We have to take it for ourselves. Or if we would humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of God, turn from our wicked ways, He said He'd hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Then we ought to practice it, Lord.
Amen.
I love you today. I want you to pray for me. I need your prayers. And if you feel like to stand with us as we read 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, starting with the 16th verse. Said, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Keep that in your mind. I want you to think about it. All power is in the hands of God. Every breath you draw, every time your heart beats, did you know if it wasn't for God, you'd be in the graveyard somewhere?
Amen.
Yeah, He's the one that's keeping you alive. Think about it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we're asking you to help us this morning to rightly divide your word, that even the least would be able to understand. We pray, Lord, that you'd search hearts. And if there's a man, woman, boy, girl in this building, Lord, that's not at peace with you, we pray, God, that you'd speak to their heart. Help them to realize that they need you more than anything else in the world. We ask you, Lord, to bless as the service continues. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, we humbly pray. Amen. Amen. I thank you for standing with us this morning. And I want to use a little thought here this morning. The goal in the gospel. We need to go for the Lord. Now, in this, the gospel, we look at the rediscovery that will go in it. And as we look at the gospel, the first two letters of the gospel, we're spelling it out, the first two letters is G-O, go. So that's what I want you to look at this morning, is the go in this. And as I look at this, the first letter of the gospel, go, we are all together which to go with the gospel. But the greatest commission that's ever been given to mankind is to go into the lost and a dying world and to tell them about a man called Jesus that came into the world to save the lost that was in the world. It wasn't for the righteous he come, but he come to seek and to save the lost out there. And what are we to go in the gospel? What does it count? What is it worth to us? I thank God that if we look at the call of God, and when he calls me, I was a poor boy. I didn't have nothing. I mean, I was poor. And had two kids there. And I'm going to tell you that I had an experience that I have never forgotten. There's an experience that you don't forget when you've been born into the family of God. Now, I know there's some people that has forgot that there was a God. They have forgot that God has got all power in the heavens and earth. And it seems that we've got church folks that don't even think God exists anymore, but he's still in heaven. He's still got all power in heaven and the earth. And he's got all power in us today. And I know that. Now, the most of the Christians is not witnessing for God as he told us to do. Now, we're in a time, and I'd like to ask you a question. I don't want to embarrass you, but I'd like to know just how many of this congregation has witnessed to somebody about Jesus in the last 12 months. I want you to think about it with me. We're more concerned about the food, the hamburgers, the hot dogs, and the good times, the skating rings, and all of this stuff. Sociable things that we're more concerned about than they are being a witness for the Lord. Now, if we've been saved, I believe you can be a witness for the Lord, because he said, I'll be with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. So if we fail to be a witness for him, then it falls our lot. That's our responsibility. I'd ask you to let this think with me. How many times in your life has the Lord spoke to you to witness to that man? And you failed. I've been there. I've tried to witness to people along the journey, but I made a special effort to do it. Now, there's people on the job I worked at when I was working at the public works, and men that come on the job that I should have witnessed, and I did not do that because of the crowd that was around there. You know, I passed that opportunity up and went on. But I take the whipping when I went home. If you allow me to use it like that, there was trouble here because I failed. My friends, what I'm trying to get over to you is we are failing to obey the Lord. Now go ye into the lost world and proclaim unto the lost world the name of Jesus that came down here, born to the Virgin Mary, and lived for 33 and a half years, was buried, and praise God, was raised up from the grave. And the same God that raised him up, give me some assurance that I will be raised up one day. And I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't take any of this millionaire's money. I don't need it. I've got all I need. I don't want their money. But I want a home in heaven. Now, if I have that home in heaven, I believe I'll have to be obedient. And I tell my church, I don't mind telling you at all, you've got to live righteously if you go to heaven. I don't believe you will accidentally get there. There's righteousness, and it's in the Lord, and if the Lord's in us, we ought to live righteous. You can't blame it on somebody else. It's God that gives us the grace and power and the marvelous power of an almighty God that says, go ye into all the world and tell them about Jesus that was born to the Virgin Mary, that he come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
I declare unto you this morning that we're living in perilous times. I believe the Great Commission rates very low in my view. I'm going to be playing with you. There's churches that don't have any witness. You can't get to the pastors that can come and preach for you. Do you know that? Have you tried it? I have a funeral every once in a while. Of course, I'm a pastor 130 miles away from home and don't have any preachers much around there. And I've tried to get some of them to come to preach for me when I had a funeral or something, but they didn't have time to come. Now, what are you talking about? I'm talking about people I thought would come. I wouldn't call you if I didn't think you'd come. I wouldn't call them if I didn't think they'd come. But I thought they would, but they didn't, you see. What are you talking about? I'm talking about being a witness for the Lord. Are you listening? You can't be a witness if you don't go. You've got to go if you're going to witness for the Lord. I believe we have a desire to reach out to God. There's a little parable back here in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew I want to call your attention to. And let's look at it for just a little bit. When the talents was given out, you people know about that. And when the talents was given out, the master gave 5 talents to one man, and he gave 2 to one man, and he gave 1 to one man. And the Bible said that they gave unto them according to their worship or their service out there. He gave according to what they had the ability to do. In other words, God doesn't expect you to do something you can't do. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He expects you to witness for it.
Amen.
He does that. That's part of the Christian life.
Amen.
And I can see this, these people, as the 3 of them there, and the 5, the one that had the 5 talents went out there, and he won other 5 talents. When the master come back to reconcile with them, and he brought the extra 5 talents, and he said, now, I won 5 of the talents. And the master bragged on him. Yes, that's good. That's wonderful. And you know, I believe he was happy, don't you?
Sure.
I believe he was. Man, I'm telling you, I believe there was joy in here because he had obeyed the master that gave him the talent. And he was proud to present to him 10 or 5 more talents. Have 10 of them in all. I wonder what you think about meeting the Lord. Minister, let me tell you something. It'll be different to what you meet me.
Amen.
It'll be different to what you meet Brother Dr. Charles Dixon. It'll be different to what you meet these other preachers. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When we stand in his presence, he knows what we are. He knows what we've done.
Amen.
And he wants to. He'll be there. I see the talent there. And he said, enter into the joys of the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, one of the greatest things I ever experienced. Hallelujah this morning. It's the hell of the Lord's sign. Enter into the joys of the Lord.
Amen.
I'll tell you that unless I know of it be any greater than that, I couldn't even tell you what it would be, because there ain't nothing no greater. Heaven is rich. Heaven is real. Glory all in any city you've ever saw. Oh, they build some terrible buildings now. I reach the way up in the sky, but there's nothing like heaven.
Amen.
Joy, peace, and happiness, and the temperature will be just right. Some of you, my temperature is on the shooting in the building, but everything will be all right. Thank God for the hope I have. And the second one come up and he said, "Sir," he said, "you gave me two and I won two more." Well, you'd have thought that the master would have made a difference in them. But he gave according to their servile ability. Now,
amen.
Are you listening to me? And though that this fellow had won two more, and the master talked to him just like he did to the man with the five, did he not? Well, all right, this man had enter into the joys of the Lord. Don't you know there was joy? That was unspeakable and full glory. Well, I said, enter in. And I make you really over somebody. I said, "Well, he'll tell you." And I can just see him now. There's another man there that was doing one talent, and he had something that, he was like a lot of us. Wait a minute, preacher. I hope you're not. But if you're not witnessing for the Lord, you're in the same boat.
Amen.
He said, "I know thou wast an ostrich man, and thou hast sowed. I reap where thou hast not sowed. I know all of this, and I went and hid it in the earth.
Amen.
And I'm not in that to ye." They only many church members and looked up to them for the great judgment of Almighty God. And I don't want to tell you they'll be like that man. I just got an idea, my friend, that he looked like some filthy sheep killing dog. He couldn't hold his head up. He looked bad. And he looked at him. And he said, "Sir, I knew about you. I knew how you reap. I knew what you done. I was afraid. I hid this. And here it is."
Amen.
The saddest thing I could think of would ever happen to me. And glory to God, because Jesus Christ came, it won't happen to me. If I stay with my God, I'll tell you, to face God, I'm prepared. It's one of the worst things that could ever happen to any man. Woman, boy, girl, it'll be different.
Amen.
He come up there and he said, "Sir, I brought this talent back to you. Why? Why did you not put it into the bank or into the usury where it could be used? Why did it not gain something? It's not worth it. Oh, God, help us to see. What are you doing for the Lord today?
Amen.
What are you doing? What am I doing? What are we doing for the Lord? Go ye into the highways and byways and compel them to come."
Amen.
One of the prominent preachers told me way back when I was a young man, that was a misprint. Well, I want to tell you, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, it's not misprinted. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you're a witness that doesn't make a difference who it is. You're a witness to the lost and the dying world. Oh, how we need to have the desire to go in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Not that we can do anything. Well, it's what God can do through us. I've never seen a time in my life that we need some witnesses. Go out there on the hedges and highways and byways and reach out to them that's dying, lost. I'm going to tell you something. I know some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you preachers do. But I'm going to tell you one of the saddest things with me is when I walk into behind the pulpit in the funeral home or in the church, and there's a cold body laying out here, and he's not left me one sign of evidence that he's ever been saved. And I'm going to tell you, that's one of the saddest experiences in my ministry, is to stand there and try to find some words that I can comfort this family sitting there when they'll beg and beg me to say something, and there wasn't nothing I could say. But he said, my hands of a just God, and I'm telling this congregation that when you stand in the judgment of God, there's no preacher that can pray you out. All the Catholics can pray, but you can't pray you out of hell. When you get there, you're there forever. I declare unto you this morning that you can't. You'll not persuade him with your dollars. You'll not persuade him with your excuses. You won't. You know, I think about, we'll say, if I go. I want you to think about the Great Commission, the race very low. And then they look at this, and if we think about the winning souls and the need of others, fear. That's what the boy said. He said, I fear, because I knew you reaped what you didn't sow. Oh, it scares you to death sometimes, don't it? Are you a witness for the Lord? I'd like to ask you again, how many of you really, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, I don't want to embarrass you. I wonder how many of you witnessed for somebody in the last 12 months. I wonder how many of you begged somebody to come to church. I wonder how many of you asked somebody, don't you think it's time that you get saved?
Amen.
If you'll seek the Lord, you shall find Him. You won't find Him until you see yourself lost. And I'm telling you today, you looking at a preacher that believes that lost people has lost their confidence in the church, because the church dresses like the world, they talk like the world, they act like the world, and they're ashamed to come to you. If they know that you're a sinner, they're ashamed to come to you and say, oh, don't you want to be saved? I declare unto you, it makes a difference when you're in the same boat with them. No, I declare that you can be separated and live righteously in this world. You can't join them. I've said this many times. I've said that you can't drink out of the same bottle.
Amen.
You can't take the same pill.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
We got too much of that going on in our society today. And then I look in the 19th chapter and the 10th verse of St. Luke, he said, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
You can shake every preacher's hand in the country. I know, so I got a bachelor down here in the fellowship hall. I think that's what you have, or anyway you planted it, or it looks like it's one. And they can take you down there, or they can take you over to the river, and they can baptize you 20 times, 30 times. You go in there without being saved, you come out just a wet sinner. No difference. Water didn't change you. The preacher shaking the preacher's hand didn't change it. Joining the congregation didn't change it. But it's an experience with God that'll change you and make a new creature out of you. We either saved or lost. There's not but two classes of people in this building. You either saved or you're lost. One of the two. Which one is it? Who did you witness to this last 12 months? Huh? Go ye into all the world. Great commission. It was given by Jesus himself before he ascended back to heaven. He left these words for the disciples.
Amen.
He living to you and I today. And if we look at it, and Matthew 16 and 26, the worth of the soul, what is man profiteth, he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul.
Amen.
Now I want you to think about the world for just a second. We get away from it, I got the hush, I know that. I want you to think about what would you give in exchange for your soul if you had possession of the entire world out there. Now that's saying a big thing. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? None of us has got this whole thing in our hand. None of us. But if you did have it in your hand, now you won't ever have it in your hand, but if you did have it in your hand, what would you give in exchange for your soul? Huh?
Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
Are you thinking? What would you give? And they say, what could you give? Because there's not enough in the world to save you. There's a world corrupted. It's a mess today. I'm going to tell you, if you've ever prayed for the United States, you better be starting doing it, because it's in a mess today.
Amen.
And the Middle East, oh, you're in a turmoil, a big turmoil. Teachers on strike. Oh God, what's going to happen? I'm going to tell you what's fixing to happen. I believe that Jesus is fixing to come back and get His people and take them home. And I tell you, I want to be among them. I'm like an old fella told me one time. I went to his home and I asked him, I said, brother, I want to know how it is with you and the Lord. He is crippled up and had heart trouble. He said, well, he said, I've never joined a church nowhere. But he said, I feel like I'll be right in the middle of that little crowd that's going into heaven. Hallelujah! It was enough for me. Because a week later, he died. I had to hold his funeral. I never forgot those words.
Amen.
But there's been hundreds that I've went to. Huh? Well, we can't do. I used to, but I can't get off. Are you listening? Go. Go. In the name of the Lord. I want you to think in closing. I want you to look at something. For what is gained by profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Think about it. Now, where shall we go? No limits. We got somebody around us every day. Have we not? Have we not? You see somebody every day. Some of you see young family. Some of you see young family. You know they're lost. But what would you do if you standing before God and you hadn't witnessed to them? Huh? I'm asking you, I'm going to leave you some questions with you, and you hadn't witnessed to them. Huh? If you were standing in the presence of the judgment, great judge of all judges, I'm not talking about some man somewhere. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about some organized group somewhere. I'm not talking about a judge somewhere or a lawyer somewhere. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about standing before the greatest judge that will ever be or ever shall be. And you stand there and know that you stood by somebody's side and worked with them for years, and you never one time mentioned God to them. What are you talking about? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not bragging about this at all, but I've went to churches and visited people in that church, and they told me the pastor had been there for in a 10 years, and he had not had a pastor. I was the only pastor that had ever been in his house. What are you talking about? I'm talking about somebody is not going. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Somebody is not going. Somebody is failing. In this big old world and in the turmoil that's out there today, it's hard to witness. I agree with you. It's hard to witness to people today. I'm telling you that it's hard to witness to church people, because they say, well, I'm doing all right. But I'm going to tell you one thing for sure. When you stand in the presence of a great God, it gives you a breath to draw. Pop your heart. And you stand there in His presence. It'll be different to stand in my presence or anybody else. God loves you. I don't care who you are. God loves you. And I could preach a while. I really could. There's a lot of things I could point out to you in the Bible. But I'm going to stop here. Because I feel like that God's through with me. And there's a lot of things I could point out to you. There's people, there's character after character in the Bible that was saved because somebody went to them and carried the word to them. Ain't no use in you going down there carrying a book. Are you listening to me? Huh? I'm not against literature. You need to read it. Ain't nothing wrong with literature, the right kind. But there's some of us filthy stuff that they call a Bible that needs to be thrown in the scrap pile. It's not a Bible, but this Bible is written by the power of God upon men. You say men wrote it. I agree that men penned it down. But I'm going to tell you they was moved by the power of the Holy Ghost. When you go to telling me that, I got a hush, but when you go to telling me that, well, my Bible's as good as yours. No, because when you deny the Spirit of God, you're denying my God. When you deny the blood, you're denying even the life here, because that's what keeps you living is the blood. And it's the blood that will save you. If you get with Jesus at Calvary, He'll save you. Well, I love you and appreciate you. God bless you. I want you to turn it over to you and do whatever you want to. Brother Dixon. Brother Dixon. Amen.